Their lives will be changed because of the word of God. Hallelujah. And Father, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, hearing by your word. Father, your word is our daily bread. It's our daily nutrition. Hallelujah. Because we must grow spiritually just like we are naturally. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your call and anointing upon me to minister your word. And I'm resting in that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I started really a series with you, one, two, 3 weeks ago, I think. And so I didn't finish it. I skipped over it last Sunday because last Sunday was what, Father's Day, right?
Yeah,
yeah, last Sunday was Father's Day. So I went a little different direction with you. But I what I'm ministering on is so important that I want to continue with it. And so my subject today, once again, is the purpose of the Spirit-filled church. The purpose of the Spirit-filled church. And I guess if you're taking notes, and if you have been here for every service, I guess you can put in your notes the purpose of the Spirit-filled church, part three. That's up to you. You do what you want to with your notes. I don't read them, you do. So, amen. But now let's look at Acts chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I'm reading from the New King James Bible here. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But, in other words, you know, you don't have to be concerned about that right now. But this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. This is what Jesus was telling them. He says, you don't know the times. You don't know the season. It's not for you to know those times. It's not for you to know those seasons. But God the Father has taken care of that. But this is what I want you to get a hold of. This is what I want you to be concerned about. This is what I want you to devote your time in, which is verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment, and we'll finish the verse. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. God has called each and every believer, Spirit-filled believer especially, to be a witness for him. Amen. You're called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. Let me finish the verse. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen?
Amen.
So I've already shared this with you. I'll cover it real briefly because I want to move on into some new material. But remember, number one, we must remember that we are called to win the lost. Think about it for a moment. Think about this for a moment. God Almighty, This awesome God we just finished singing about, who created the heavens and the earth and created everything that is, this awesome God has now placed the responsibility of reaching the lost on the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about a structure. We are the church. Amen. If you're in here and you're born again, say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Hallelujah. That responsibility has been given to us. Amen. So that's our number one priority, is to win the lost, to tell them about Jesus Christ. See, some folks are a little timid when it comes to talking about hell. They'll talk a lot about heaven, and too many times, we try to put people in heaven that may not be there. Come on, can we be real? I said, come on, can we be real? Amen. And we understand that it's not God's will that any person be lost. You hear me? Let me say that again. It is not God's will for any person to be lost. But we got to believe what the Bible says. The Bible says there's a heaven. And that very same Bible also says there's a hell. And this Bible gives us an example of this hell. Jesus tells the story about a rich man and a beggar. They both died. The rich man went to hell. The beggar went into the bosom of Abraham. In other words, he went to paradise. Hallelujah. That's where he had to go, paradise, which was a place of peace. It wasn't hell. He had to go there. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't died on the cross. Jesus hadn't rose from the dead yet. Hallelujah. Jesus hadn't ascended to the heaven, into heaven, and sprinkled his holy blood on the heavenly vessels, as it talks about in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Amen. Remember, Jesus told the lady, what was her name? Well, you don't know where I'm going. You can't tell me was it Mary or Martha? He said, don't touch me. That's after he had rose from the dead. And she had said, he said, don't touch me. Why would he say that? Well, he told her why. He said, because I had not ascended to my Father and to your Father. So don't touch me. Right now, I'm untouchable. But he ascended to his Father and our Father. And his blood was sprinkled on the heavenly vessels. And then Jesus came back. And they were able to touch him. Remember Thomas? He said, touch me. Touch me. Put your fingers in the holes where I've been pierced. Hallelujah. So let me get back on course here. But we must understand that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and our job as the church is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. Well, Pastor, I've tried and they don't listen to me. That's all right. Many of them didn't listen to Jesus either, but he kept on preaching. There was a time when the whole crowd got offended at him and turned and walked away. He looked at his disciples and said, "You boys going too?" Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. If I there's nowhere else to go." And he was absolutely right. There was nowhere else to go. But sometimes when you tell people the truth, they'll walk away from you. One thing I have learned as a pastor, and I'm just a little side journey, but we're going to move on. But one thing I have learned as a pastor is to love everybody, and especially love my flock. And y'all hear me say this again. I love all you guys. Amen. But I got to be careful because I cannot become anybody's buddy. I'm your friend. I love you. I'll do anything within my ability for you. But I can't become your pal for a couple of reasons. People walk off and leave you. Sometimes people leave you when you need them the most. Are you still here?
Amen.
And number two is when your pal or your buddy doing something wrong, they know they ain't got no business doing, they don't want you to correct them because, you know, remember, we tight.
Amen.
You let me do what I want to do. Keep your mouth shut. You just tell everybody else how they ought to live, but you leave me alone. No, you can't have buddies.
Amen.
But you love everybody.
Amen.
Amen. But you keep yourself in a position where you can correct everybody or anybody, and you do it in love.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. We won't take up an offering on that one. I'm picking with you. Amen. But people need to know, even if they don't want to listen to you, they need to know that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun, and both are very real. Glory to God. But now we also talked about winning the lost, and I had scriptures. Let me give you some scripture references. For the time's sake, we won't go back there and read them again, but you can write them down if you weren't here. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. These are some scriptures that we covered. But not only are we to win the loss, but there should be signs following the word of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the body of Christ. This is the way it is supposed to be. Too many times, you know, you have the pastor and you have the congregation. Now, the congregation looks to the pastor to do everything. Everything. Don't worry about it. Pastor, take care of it. But what you forget is pastor is one person. Even Jesus sent the 70 out, didn't he? Why didn't he go? I'm sure that's probably what some of the folks, you know human nature. I don't see why he's sending them out. Why don't he go? He Jesus. But what Jesus did was train his disciples and any other ones that would listen how to live for God and how to do the work of the ministry. Listen to me. I want every person in this church, y'all listening? I want every person in this church to know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know, you grab me and let me know, and we'll set up a class, or I'll talk to you just face to face. But every believer need to know how to get another person saved. Every person need to know how to get a person saved. But not only that, but let me tell you something. thank God. You come to the altar and I pray for you and I do it gladly, without complaint whatsoever. And I lay hands on you. I dedicate your babies. I marry you. I bury you. I prefer to marry you than bury you. But that's part of my responsibility as a pastor. And I've married a lot of them and I've buried a lot of them over the years. And I realize, not just anybody can marry a couple or do their committal. But you know something? Every believer can lay hands on the sick. Notice in the scriptures, it did not say the preachers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's not what it said. It said the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're on your job, let me tell you something. You can be places I can't be. You can get into places I can't get into. We have some brothers in here that work in the prisons. I can't get in there. Don't want to get in there. Now I go prison to minister. I've ministered at prisons before. Praise God, and it's a blessing. And been witnessed guys getting saved and praying for the sick guys in the prisons. We've done all that. But let me tell you something. You go, you minister, you leave. Amen. But you guys that work in the prisons or maybe some other job that where you can get into, I can't. Therefore, if a person in there is sick or they having an issue, guess what? They can, in general conversation, well, man, I've been dealing with this and I've been dealing with that. Or I'm sick or I'm broke and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? You can grab them at the proper time. Now, I have to be cautious about saying that because, see, some folks, I know from personal experience, but sometimes you can become so zealous that you forget to work. Amen. Now, when you're on a job, they are paying us to work, right? But they do give you a break. Amen. And then you have some time before you go to work, and you have some time maybe when you're getting off your job where you can grab somebody or during break time, lunch time, grab somebody. Say, let me pray with you about that. Let me pray with you about what we talked about. Here's the problem with most believers. They don't believe God will show up for them. They don't believe he'll show up. But my wife can tell you, we were seeing people get healed and saved long before I went into the ministry. Glory be to God. We were getting people saved, walking the streets, sharing Jesus, telling them about Jesus. Some of you remember, I won't go into all of it, but we had a Saturday night Bible study back in the 70s, in the mid-70s, and we had a Saturday night Bible study, and I'd go teach the Bible study, and I wasn't even Holy Ghost filled at that time, but I was saved, and we would leave the Bible study. We had to go through Chesterfield on the way home. We'd shoot through the back lot and see who we saw back there, and if saw anybody back there, we'd stop and share Jesus with them, and man, we praying in the back lot. One woman got down on her knees with her hands in the air in the back lot on Saturday night. We leading her to Jesus Christ and then took her home. Let me tell you something. Pray about opportunities. Pray for, say, Lord, give me an opportunity to touch someone for you. If I need to pray for them, Give me an opportunity to do that. If there's an opportunity to lead them to Jesus, help me to recognize that opportunity and do it. Remember, we are the church. Let me say it again. We are the church. There's a time for dancing. There's a time for shouting and glorifying God. And then there's a time to get down to work. Thank God for all you guys the other week that went out and to the apartments sharing Jesus Christ with them. And I know we're going again and we're going to do other things for the glory of God. Because you have to understand, we don't have a whole lot of time left. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Jesus is coming back. You hear me? Praise God. I'm reviewing and I'm, wow, I got to move on. But we got to win the loss, and with signs following, God will confirm his word. You hear me? And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 was one scripture reference that I had. Let's move on real quick. Number two, we're told to strengthen the brethren. We need to strengthen one another. Amen. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Most of you have these scripture references already. Number three, we talked about the church need to praise and worship God. Praise and worship God. I said praise and worship God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And there's one I didn't cover, I want to cover. I didn't give you this one. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms 113. The 113th Psalm. I skipped this one. We shouldn't mind blessing God. He's worthy of it all. You hear me? I said he's worthy of it all. Matter of fact, I had one verse I was going to give you, but I'm just going to read this. It's a short chapter, ain't but nine verses. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. Oh, I love verse 3. This is the one I was going to give you. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Why don't you give him a shout right now? Hallelujah! Glory to God. From the rising of the sun to its going down, or going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The praise of God should be coming out of our mouth because he is worthy of our praise. Verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. You see that? Who is like our God who dwells on high? And I'll say nobody. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? I love this. He raises the poor out of the dust. Glory to God. I thought there would have been more amens out there than that. He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Come on, y'all know some of y'all been in the dust. Some of y'all been in the ash heap. I've been there, and God raised me out of it, and he raised you out of it. And listen, I'm going to read verse 7, then we'll continue on. He raises the poor out of the dust, and he lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes. with the princes of his people. Don't tell me God won't promote you. I say, don't tell me God won't promote you when you give him the glory, when you bless his name, when you walk in his word. God will promote you. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyous mother of children. And how does this chapter end? Praise the Lord. Why lift your hands and praise him again? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So I think I've reviewed everything that we covered. Now, number four. Everybody say number four.
Number four.
The responsibility of the church is to intercede for change. Intercede for change. Cause things to change. You ever wonder why the devil fights you so much? Some of you. Well, I want to tell you right now, be of good cheer. Because if he's fighting you, if he's pushing against you real hard, that speaks volumes. That tells me that you are valuable. That tells to God. That tells me you are dangerous to hell. That tells me you are an interrupter of his plans. Are you still here? Rather than throwing up your hand in frustration and disgust, say, why? And that's what human nature want to do. Human nature want to say, why me, Lord? Why am I dealing with all this? You know, Lord, I've been good. I pay my tithe. I do this. I do what I know to do. Why am I dealing with? Just know you're dangerous. Sometimes the devil recognizes how dangerous we are before we do.
Amen.
Why don't you look at somebody and say, I'm dangerous. So we don't misunderstand what you're saying. I want you to say it again. Look at that same person and say, I am dangerous to the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Because here's what we have. We have an audience with God Almighty. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can talk to God Almighty, and he listens. He don't want to hear a thing the devil got to say, because anything he says is lies. Bible tells us he's the accuser of the brethren. You think God's listening to that stuff? I mean, he's yakety, 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 yak. God ain't paying that any attention. He's wanting to hear from his people. He's wanting to hear from his people. He's wanting to hear from you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The 22nd chapter. Ezekiel 22nd chapter. This is interesting. I'll begin reading at verse 29. It says, the people of the land. Now, this, but before I finish reading this reminds me of our country today and not just our country, but the world. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy. And they wrongfully oppress the stranger. You know, we can complain about what we see. Why don't God do this? Why did God let that happen? Blah, blah. We can go on and on and on and on. So God says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. But take a look at verse 30. So I sought for a man among them. You see that? It's on the screen here. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. God says, I'm looking for someone who's going to stand in the gap. Let me tell you something. God is looking for intercessors, people who will stand in the gap, people who will stand on the word of God and fight the good fight of faith. Some things don't change because we don't pray. Remember what I said earlier? We are the church. We are the church. Now, the Bible tells us that we are laborers together with him. Am I right? Amen. I said, am I right? Amen. We are laborers together with him. So God has given us the authority to change things in the earth through our prayers, through our intercession, being willing to stand in the gap. Lord, I see this happening, but I do not like it. And I know it is not right. Or you may say, this is happening to a certain person or a certain group of people. This is not right. What God is looking for are people that say, I will stand in the gap on their behalf. That's part of our responsibility as the church. To stand in the gap. Our nation is hurting. We need to be praying. And I'll get to that scripture in a moment. But we need to be praying. But let's bring it down to individuals. You know what? If you know a brother or sister, they may not be saved, but if they are hurting, guess what? You stand in the gap for them, you got God's attention. You got God's attention. And I want to tell you right now, don't ever hesitate to pray for me. And I think you feel the same way. Amen. Don't y'all feel the same way? I want people praying for me. I know y'all do. I believe everybody do. We want people praying. We want people that know God praying for us, standing in the gap on our behalf. God wanted to do something, but he had no intercessor, no one that was willing to stand in the gap. Verse 31, I think there's another verse, Ezekiel 22, 31. Just put it on the screen for me. Listen to what, now remember, the people were wicked. God looked for someone to stand in the gap on their behalf. He found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. And I have compensed their deeds on their own head, says the Lord God. But remember, he looked to man first. He looked to his people first. Amen. He looked to his people first. We are the one that's supposed to be praying. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Second chapter. How many of you believe the Bible? Raise your hand. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, raise your hand. Amen. I think that's about unanimous. Except for the kids that's not paying attention. Now, I believe the Bible too is the Word of God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapters mixed up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, okay, beginning at verse 1. Listen at what the Word of God says. Therefore I exalt first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, in our case, it'd be presidents. We don't have a king here in America, but we have a president. For kings and for all who are in authority. And by the way, let me stop just a moment and say this. You should pray for the president. You should pray for Congress. You should pray for our judicial system, judges and so forth. And actually bring it on down to local government, all the way down. We should be praying for these people according to the Word of God. You hear me? Whether you voted for them or not, you need to pray for them. Because if you didn't vote for them and they won anyhow, they still can affect your life, positively or negatively. You hear me? So we are told to pray. So it says, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may do what? Read it. Stop right there. Is that in the Bible, folks?
Yes.
Guys upstairs, give me verse 2 in the, I believe it's New Living Translation. I want you to see it. Pray this way for kings and for all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful. How many of you want to live a peaceful life? You don't want folk just disrupting your life, disrupting your family. It says, pray for these people. Because if we don't pray, God's not going to move. The responsibility has been given to us. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live a peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. In other words, let me break it down for you. We need to pray so that we can live a quiet and peaceful, godly life. Amen. I said godly life. Now, speaking of voting, you need to vote, and I'll tell you that right now. Amen. And ask God to give you some wisdom, too. And we'll move on. Verse 3. For this is what? Say what? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Tell you what, I ain't praying for him. I can't stand him. You better pray for him or her, him or her, because they're in a position to affect your life. We've been instructed by God Almighty to do that. This is not James Redfern talking. This is the Word of God. Now, verse 3 again, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse 4, who desires all men. You see that? All men to be what? Yes. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is what? One God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to pray every day for those in authority over us, not just in Washington, D.C., but in Columbia, in Chirau, or your hometown, or wherever. You need to pray for these people, because these people are in a position to make our lives absolutely miserable. Amen. We need to pray. Can I get another amen on that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I like what Jesus said, and I'm getting ready to close. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 21st chapter, and I'm going to close there. Matthew 21. Don't ever feel like God's not hearing your prayers. If you're praying for your nation, don't ever feel like I'm just one person in among millions. God don't hear me. Yes, he does. He does hear you. Amen. Matthew chapter 21. When you pray, pray in faith. We need to use our faith for more than just getting things for ourselves. Father, thank you for meeting my need. Father, we need a house. Lord, need a car, whatever. And Father, I put my faith out there for that. That's good and fine, but we need to go beyond our personal needs when it comes to our faith. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will what?
Receive.
Receive. When we intercede, we need to intercede in faith. Believe in God. knowing that God is going to work. God is moving. But remember this, as I close, don't you ever forget it. As a believer, you are a co-laborer with God. I got to drive this point home. We're not by ourselves. We are co-laborers with God. God's called us to do our part, and he says, I'll do mine. But if you don't do yours, I can't do mine. Well, Pastor, what you mean you can't? He can't do. God can do everything. With God, all things are possible. But let me tell you something. When God declares something, that's just the way it is. If God says, you do certain thing, something, and then I'll do something in response to what you do, if you don't do what he tells you to do, he's not moving. Because he's given that authority to us. I like what Jesus said. I believe it's Matthew chapter 28. He said, all authority, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what Jesus said before he ascended to his Father. He said, all power, all authority has been given unto me. And what else did he say? He said, now go. Now go. Now go. What if they had decided, we're not moving? Then God couldn't have worked. He says, power and authority has been given to me. Now I'm going to pass this power and authority on to you. Now take it and go into all the world and use it for my glory. And I'm working with you. And now, let me say this as I close. Then Jesus, what did he do? He ascended to his Father, didn't he? He ascended to his Father, but he told him, say, now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. God's given me all power, all authority, and now I'm going to confer that power and authority to you. So I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell every one of you, any one of you that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When I got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it changed my life. It changed my, you hear me? It changed my life. I remember I used to look in the Bible and read stuff and not understand it. All of a sudden, once I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Word of God just opened up to me. At one time, I was praying for people and didn't see any results, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, I would pray for folks, and the power of God was available. Things changed. I'm getting ready to close, but I remember I had a little Bible study in the Baptist church, and I was teaching that Bible study, and we just hadn't been long separated from the service, Kathy and I, and we started this little Bible study on Saturday night. Some of you folks that's in here was a part of that Bible study. I was saved, but I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, but I was saved, and I, you know, managed to get a lot of folks saved in that Bible study. And they would come up for prayer in this our little Saturday night Bible study, and I would pray for them and you know, praise God. But after I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I remember this experience, brother. This one lady came up, and she said, I want you to pray for me. I don't remember what was wrong with her. I don't. But, you know, I had a habit, and I still do that sometimes. I try not to. But I had a habit, though, back then, when I lay hands on people, I close my eyes, too. You know, they close their eyes, and I close my eyes, too. And we both praying, you know. And I'm standing there praying for them. Now I just got baptized the Holy Ghost just a few weeks earlier. And so I'm praying for this lady, and she was a nice-sized lady. And so I'm praying, nobody was standing behind her, and I'm praying for this lady, had my hands on her forehead, and this had never happened to me before. I'm praying for her, and I'm praying, I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I don't feel her. And I open my eyes, and she goes, boom, she hit the floor. And I was in an old church with wooden floors. Scared me. I thought, dear Lord. This lady, and she wasn't no young lady either. And she, like I said, she was a nice-sized lady. And she hit that floor, and she hit that floor hard. And I'm scared. And some of the guys went over there and helped her up off the floor. She was just fine. I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. Yes, yes. And the power of God came in that little Bible study that we was having on Saturday night. One lady, God healed her a number of times, and she would get drunk in the spirit. Anybody know what drunk in the spirit is? Amen. She would get drunk in the spirit and couldn't drive home. And then some of the brothers, you remember that? Minister Lewis, Barbara, some of the brothers would have to take her home. And you have to understand, I'm new in all this, so I'd get scared again. I'm thinking, my goodness, we having to take this man's wife, because her husband didn't come to the Bible study. So we having to take this man's wife home, and he's probably going to come after me because he don't know what we're doing to his wife down here at this church. And they one of the brothers drove her car, and the other one took her to the house, and they had both of them had to help her in the house. Thank God she had a wonderful husband. You know, glory to God. He didn't shoot them, and he didn't come looking for me, but they would help her in the house because she could not help herself. But God healed that woman time and time again. And I'm watching this, and y'all heard the story about the man, I'm not going into it, that had cirrhosis of the liver. He looked like he was 9 months pregnant, and we led him to the Lord, laid hands on him. God healed him. His belly went down. He went back to work. He worked in pulpwood. Some folks don't know what that is. But he was a hard worker. They was looking for him to die. We laid hands on him. God healed. And we began to see these things. We weren't trying to make these things happen. I'd been praying for folk before I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But once I got filled with the Holy Ghost, things changed. Things changed. Hallelujah. And I just come out of the service. Amen. Didn't know any of y'all, anybody in here, except for Paul and Barbara and Miss Lily back there, I think, was about the only ones that I knew at that time. But God moved. It wasn't made up, fabricated. It was a move of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? God's doing that again. My question is, are you going to be in on it? Are you going to be in on it? Come on, give God praise, will you? Woo, glory to God. Come on, stand to your feet and bless his name. Come on. Stand to your feet and bless his name. Hallelujah. Play something, guys. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Whoa, glory to God.